This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Through the Abyss podcast. I'm your co-host, Mandy.
And I am your co-host, Ben.
And today we are talking about the one and only Mr. Norman Bates.
Yeah, I'm really mad at you, Mandy, for making me talk about this creepy-ass serial killer. This guy's a mess.
Well, you know, we are a true crime podcast, among other things, and what's a true crime podcast without talking about Norman Bates, one of the most, we'll just say, odd birds that we've talked about so far.
Yeah, he almost makes Jeffrey Dahmer look sane.
Yeah, well, technically Norman, quote unquote, really isn't the serial killer, but we'll get into that in just a minute. So a little background info on Mr. Norman. He was born on September 18th, 1933 in Fairvale, California. His mother is Norma Bates. Father is John Bates. Mr. and Mrs. Bates owned and operated the Bates Motel, and they had a house kind of right above the property, so they could be there 24/7. And Norman's birth was complicated, which caused his mother to have long-lasting physical effects, and because of this, she was, shall we say, abusive towards Norman. His father died in 1939 from being stung to death by bees, which that would probably be right up there with ways I do not ever want to die.
I'd be good with that one.
You'd be okay with that one?
Yeah, that's not among my biggest fears. Mine would all, my bad ones would be like suffocation or falling from a high place or, yeah, I'm good with
falling bees. From a high place, really? Because, I mean, you'd have a nice, pretty free fall and then nothing.
You'd have a couple seconds of terror, and I don't want that.
Well, it depends on how you look at it, I guess. but I'm allergic to bees, so that's why it's kind of up there in my in my spectrum of bad
things.
Yeah,
I mean, I would imagine
spider bites.
I would imagine you were trained to be afraid of bees your whole life, given that you were allergic.
You know, honestly, I'm really, because I've learned more about them, and they're very beautiful creatures, and I love honey anyway. I'm really not that afraid of them anymore, so I try not to swat them away when they come by me, unless they're very, very persistent, want to land on me, then I run. But I try to, we shouldn't kill bees, because we need them. They pollinate lots of stuff. And we get yummy honey.
Stuff.
anyway. so Norman's father, it's going to be one of those days again, I think. His father died in 1939 from being stung to death by bees. And during the funeral, Norman was a little bit ticklish and he accidentally laughed when his mom touched him. And he was later reprimanded for it by being locked in a tiny closet in the basement of his house. So that had to be super fun. And from accounts that I've read, after his father died, he began showing signs of being mentally disturbed. He eventually took up taxidermy at some point, and not sure where he was getting the dead animals or if he tortured them prior to getting them and killed them. Not sure. But yeah, he liked to stuff dead animals. So that's itself kind of a weird hobby.
I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people that do it.
You know a lot of taxidermists.
No,
name,
I don't know.
Name
I
one.
I know zero.
Okay. Oh my gosh. I will kind of interject this a little bit early, but he has been diagnosed later in life as having dissociative identity disorder. I'm wondering when his psyche actually split, if it was even prior to his father dying.
Yeah, for those who aren't aware, dissociative personality disorder is the newer terminology for multiple personalities. Multiple personalities, no longer a classification, it's now dissociative personality disorder.
Why'd they change it? I mean,
I don't know. I would have to look it up, but I mean, my guess would be because it can be two or just one split. I mean, that's not a good guess, really. There's probably usually when they change names, it's for some reason that they feel it was offensive, but I can't really see why multiples would be.
no, that's interesting. Maybe it has something to do with dissociation or something, because
Yeah.
technically they're not associated with their real personalities. I don't know. That's me guessing.
Yeah, I mean, multiple sounds more like you would be aware of all of them at the same time, but they're usually not. Sometimes, like, the main personality doesn't even realize that some of the other personalities exist.
Which in this case is what's happening,
Yeah.
which is interesting to me. So in Fairville, Norman experienced an abusive upbringing from his mother. She preached to Norman that aside from herself, all women were dirty, fallen, and evil creatures unworthy of love and trust.
Wait, I'm confused by this sentence.
Okay. What?
Like that just sounds like a normal statement. What's the problem?
Okay, Ben, we need to talk after this, I think.
Totally a joke, people. Totally a joke. My
Oh
bad.
God. So as a result of this crazy notion being beat into this kid's head, he led an extraordinarily sheltered life, with his mom being the only person he really knew, which caused him to become desperately dependent on her for companionship. She kept him home, homeschooled him, under the guise that she needed him to help run the motel, because it was just her and him at the time, so he had to help, and he was young at this time, so I don't know how
I have a
much
social
help.
question for you, and
Okay.
it's totally off topic, but
Of course.
do you know if there's any sort of like criteria or any sort of testing that a parent has to do in order to be allowed to homeschool? Like this was a long time ago. Like this was in the 30s, 40s, right? So probably no rules then, but now. Does a parent need qualification or can you just homeschool your child at will? Because that's frightening.
I think you can just homeschool them, but you still have to follow criteria set by, I'm assuming, the state, and they still have to, I would imagine, pass certain qualifications and tests student-wise. I mean, I
Yeah, a
don't really.
student would have to be showing they were progressing at the right level.
My cousin actually homeschools her kids. I will message her later and ask her and just
Yeah, it's just
kind of see.
interesting. If
Yeah, because I'm.
anyone's just allowed to homeschool, that sounds not necessarily like a great idea.
Well, I mean, if their kids aren't up to par, then I would assume they wouldn't be allowed to homeschool.
Yeah, I just feel like that'd be easy to fake too, though. I'm talking about in a severe case of like a psychopath that just doesn't want their child to associate with society, sort of like this, right? You could fake that stuff, right? You could really destroy your child's life.
I'm sure you could. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I mean,
Yeah.
there's ways to fake everything nowadays, so
Yeah, fair.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they have to have social workers come in and look in on them, although I could would find that hard to believe, since social workers typically tend to be overworked as it is, so
Right.
I don't know. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, like,
it's a good
Child
question.
Protective Services doesn't even show up unless it's like the most drastic of cases. And I'm not saying that as a throwing a rock at Child Protective Services. There's way too many cases.
Yeah, but still, I it could be better.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, everything could be better.
No, that's true.
Like, the government could help fund, get more people in those roles would be
Well,
a
they're
good start.
well, we need to get better people in our government roles for stuff like that to happen, but
Fair.
yeah, we won't get into that because that's a whole nother conversation there. So back to Norman. Now, keep in mind, his mom is the only female he's ever really been allowed to be around, and he's getting into those curious years. There was one occasion while he was, for some reason, comforting his mom during a storm, he got an erection and ran to his room. His mom followed him, discovered some kind of women's undergarment catalog, and forced him to dispose of it. And she stated that she wished she had been firmer with him on the ills of women. So, to quote unquote cleanse him of his lustrous thoughts of other women, she gave him a sponge bath using ammonia. I'm sure that was super fun for Norman, especially having his mom give him a sponge bath, during his preteen years. It was kind of after this point where he started to spy on his mother, noticing that she was losing her mind. Interesting that he would notice something like that. There was also another occasion after dousing his mom with orange flower water. I'm not sure why. She playfully tackled him, which made him get another erection, and his mom actually felt it this time. So she went into a rage. She put him in a dress and lipstick and called him a girl before locking him in a closet as a way to make him forget about his penis.
That sounds like it'll work.
I'm not sure how, but okay.
No, now he's just a guy in a dress with a boner. Just
Yeah,
putting
pretty
that
much.
out
Yeah, that his mother gave him, by the way. Yeah, got that from his mama. this is so nasty. So
there.
when plans were, I feel, I don't, God love Shakespeare for being the first person to tell this Oedipal story. When plans were made to build a new freeway in Fairville, it actually directed traffic away from the motel. Of course, that's kind of their livelihood. So Norma took out her frustration on Norman, declaring that she should have killed him when he was in her womb.
Yeah.
That's,
Abusive.
I can't even imagine what that would be like to hear your mom say, "I should have killed you when you were inside me." I mean, that's what, I mean, what the hell kind of mental disorders does she have?
Hard to say. She's
I mean,
definitely.
she's pissed off, okay, because yeah, the birth caused her to have physical problems, but wasn't his fault. He didn't ask to be conceived.
Well, she obviously has a hatred of women, right? She's been raised to think that her own body parts and sexuality are disturbing and disgusting,
Oh,
right?
no,
She
not
has that.
hers, other women's.
Well, she said hers to him, but like for her to have that mindset, I feel
Yeah.
like she would have had to have been raised thinking that women were bad and that sexuality was bad. Obviously, when he gets an erection, she's throwing him in a dress, put him in the closet. She thinks any sexuality is bad, right? So I'm just wondering if she was like raised extremely religious, maybe in some sort of,
I would say she probably was.
yeah, like a combination of religion and violence would be my guess that will make someone
Yeah.
like this.
Just a little bit. Too much preacher, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it was, well, he was born in 33, so early 1900s into the 20s,
Yeah.
when she was raised. So a little bit different back then. They had some crazy ideas. But hey, I don't have to deal with that, so that's wonderful. After that little spat, Norman's home situation changed when Norma met Chet Rudolph in 1948 and began a relationship with him. And as Norma's new relationship progressed, Norman's, well, he was already fragile, but this apparently is when his psyche began to kind of shatter. He felt betrayed and abandoned by his mother, and that she was a hypocrite for preaching to him against love and sex while she was now in an intimate relationship with this guy that Norman obviously hated, with it just being the two of them his whole life. Well, most of his whole life. He ain't gonna take kindly to another guy coming in and hooking up with his mama because, he's got a thing for his mom, thanks to her upbringing. So this new reality caused Norman to snap, and kind of this is when he went a little bit crazy. In 1949, at the ripe old age of 16, he decided to punish Norma for her betrayal by poisoning her and Chet with strychnine. It's just awesome. And then he staged a murder-suicide, complete with a forged letter from Norma. Now, the authorities fell for it. They never really considered Norman because he was shy and he was nervous, so they pretty much eliminated him as a suspect. And upon emerging from his psychotic episode, he had no memory of what he had done. He, quote unquote, discovered his mother and her dead lover. And the horror of this discovery caused Norman to go into shock and led him to being committed to a hospital psych ward for a couple months. And it was during that stint that Norman began losing more and more of his grip on reality. And he began seeing and hearing his dead mother compelling him to keep her alive. And to accomplish this, when he was actually out of the psych ward, Norman stole his mother's corpse. He weighed her casket with books, and he preserved her body as best he could and gave her half his life. So he, at this point, his personalities are split because half of her is him dressing as his mother and speaking as his mother, and he would even have full-blown conversations where he would talk to his mother and she would talk back. Of course, all of this is him. And so basically he was half his mom and half himself. So he's, I mean, I don't really know how dissociative disorder works, but with him blacking out during the episodes when he fully becomes his mother, I don't quite understand how he is able to literally be two people at once, where he is himself having a conversation with himself as his mother. More actually arguments back and forth. I don't really understand that.
Yeah, I do want to say, as far as you had talked about when he was in the mental ward, his condition getting worse. I just want to point out, which is probably common knowledge, but in case it's not to some people, 1949, when he goes into this mental ward, it's not the same as hospitals today, right? Where now we come from a patient care sort of mentality. When you go into the hospital in 1949 for a mental condition, it's more of a lock you up. These were some very abusive places that did archaic things such as bloodlettings and cold water tortures and
Lobotomies.
lobotomies and things that don't exist anymore. Like they were more just locking you away from society and doing random experiments on you, right? It was not like a care type facility.
Yeah, so I mean, I can kind of understand why
That's
he
why you
got
would get
worse.
worse. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Which is sad. I mean, there's been plenty of documentation about these insane asylums and the shit that they did to these, poor people.
Yeah, one
It's
really famous one in London was called Bedlam. It was called Bethlehem, but it was nicknamed Bedlam. But if you
yeah.
look it up, they did every atrocity under the sun.
Yeah, this is where electroconvulsive therapy kicked in, but it was a lot harsher back then than it is now.
Yeah, and the problem with electroconvulsive therapy is there's some legitimacy to it. And I do know
Yeah.
people that have had it, that it
I
actually.
do as well.
I do know a person that had it, that they actually had lost all semblance of reality. They were making up stories that clearly weren't true about their life that had never occurred. And the electroconvulsive therapy actually brought them back out of that and back to who they were.
Well, there, I have a family member who dealt with, still is dealing with pretty serious depression. He had it. It didn't do anything other to him to help. It just really it affected his memory, so he can't remember a lot of stuff. But
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's different for everybody, depending on their state of mind, that type of thing,
Probably
I
the
would
state of
assume.
mind. And like you said, there were different levels of it, and the
Yeah.
amount would matter as well.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah.
Definitely. So, jumping into the murders, because he is a serial killer, so obviously there's going to be murders. He inherited the Bates Motel and the Bates House, which he lived in his whole life. He ran the motel alone. But people very rarely checked in because when they diverted the highway, it kind of took a lot of business away. Now, his only company was hallucinations of his dead mother, and recreating her voice, he pretended to be her. He actually argued with his mother a lot. I mean, it's I still don't understand that. But anyway, the 4th of July in 1956, a young woman named Holly checked into the motel. She wanted to hook up with Norman for some reason. I guess when he was Norman, I guess he was kind of charming in a weird sort of way. He was nervous, but of
He's a
course,
business owner.
he is a business owner, yes. He was really nervous. He tried to keep her at the motel while he went to unclog a guest toilet, but she actually ran off into the house and got in his bed. While she was lying in his bed, Norman went to his mother's corpse and heard her tell him to kill her or else she would do it herself. So Norman dressed up as his mother, and while acting in her personality, he killed Holly by stabbing. It doesn't remember anything about it, so has no idea this happened except for, oh, there's a dead body he now has to dispose of because mama killed somebody again.
So, like, I don't know why this flashed me to OJ, but can you use the if the dress don't fit, you must acquit on this case?
Sure, we can use that. Yeah, except the only problem is the dress does fit because he wears it. I guess he and his mom were the same size. So in October of 1956, Norman found his way into a car with an older woman named Gloria outside the motel. While making out with her, he suddenly said he needed to give his mother her 2 o'clock medication. That's something you probably shouldn't be thinking about while you're making out with another person, but hey, that's just me. Kind of weird. He went up to the house and again,
I
what?
mean,
Oh.
mom needs her meds, right? She's been dead for how many years at this point?
Yeah,
She's gonna
just a
need
few
those
years.
meds. I'm
Oh my
sorry,
God.
corpses are not funny. I have to remember that every time we do a podcast. My
That's kind of, so
bad.
you gotta, come on. You have to laugh or you just be like beyond disturbed.
Lord.
So he went to give her the medication and again had another argument with her. So he returned as her mom, strangled Gloria, and disposed of her body and her car in a nearby swamp. And as the car sank, he could actually hear her screaming from inside the trunk.
Ugh.
And this is him being Norman again. He
Right,
kills
so
as his
he's probably
mother.
terrified and wanting to save her at that point, but a little too cowardly to go against mom.
Well, yeah, he can't go against Mama's wishes, even though she's dead, but whatever. So the two murders of Holly and Gloria, they would become unsolved missing person cases for several years, obviously, because nobody's going to suspect sweet, innocent Norman Bates, the proprietor of the Bates Motel. On a rainy evening, December 12th, 1959, a woman named Marion Crane, who actually checked in under the name Mariel Samuels from Los Angeles, arrived at the motel, and Norman invited her to dinner at the motel's office parlor. While she got ready, Norman, again, surprise, surprise, argued with mother and managed to actually refuse to listen to his mother's bidding for once. So this is,
Standing
Marion
up to
must be good.
mom
Yeah, he did. He did.
years after her death.
But
Very
the weird
ballsy.
thing is that Marion overheard this argument, like two separate voices, because he really, this dude played it up. So he really went into that other personality. So she overheard this and told Norman that she didn't wish to upset his mother, but Norman convinced her that everything was okay. As Marion ate, Norman had told her that his mother was mentally ill, and she suggested that Norman put her in an institution. Well, of course, this made him mad because nobody puts Mama in a corner. Dirty Dancing reference. Sorry.
Yes.
he pretty much got pissed off, saying that his mother was not a bad person. She just goes a little mad sometimes, because we all go a little mad sometimes. When Marianne left to get ready for bed, she revealed her real name to Norman and that she would actually be returning to Phoenix. So later, as Marianne took a shower, now Norman had her in the room that was right by the office, which he had a little peephole drilled in there, so he was watching her the whole night.
Uh-oh. Creepy
Yes.
motel man.
That's Norman.
By the way, just putting this out there because we're speaking of that this moment, but there's a Netflix special. I'm not gonna remember what it's called, but it's about a guy that owned a motel for years and spied on guests.
That's
But
not
it's very
surprising.
interesting.
I don't know about you, but every time I stay at a hotel or something, I always look behind the mirror
Do you
just to
really?
check. I do. I don't know. I've watched too many damn movies, is what the problem is.
Well, my first step is I don't stay in anywhere called motel.
Yeah,
It's
no, I don't do
it's
that
got to be
either.
a hotel and
Yeah,
like one that I've heard of and et cetera. Yeah.
I'm the same way, but I still check just to be on the safe side.
But I one thing that freaks me out in that regard, when you have that connected locked door to the next room
Oh
that's
yeah.
there for like the maids to get back and forth quickly, I think. It's like, screw all that. Don't like it.
Why yours locks?
It is, but it's just like mentally, it's too close.
You know, it's the same kind of lock that they have on the door that you come in and out of, right? I'm
Yes,
just
but
saying.
like it's just a thing. Like the
I
reason I brought it
understand.
up is because I know it's completely illogical. I'm just saying it's a thing I have. I mean, come on. You're like the only person I know that's looking under the mirror, so why are we throwing rocks at me now?
Hey, I am probably not the only person who does
And I'm
that,
probably
okay?
not the only person that's concerned about the connecty door.
Well, I don't know. You're
All
special. No.
right, that's a challenge to the Through the Abyss podcast listening audience.
Yes.
We want to hear from you anyways.
Yes.
Let us know which is more terrifying, the mirror or the connecty door in a hotel.
And just remember, since we are also a paranormal podcast now, mirrors are portals to God only knows where. So
And
just
ghosts
keep that
can
in
walk through
mind.
doors. Boom.
Ghosts walk through anything, but a mirror can take you to another dimension. So I think I win. I think I win. That's just me.
I mean, if you believe in other dimensions, sure.
Hey, I completely forgot where we were. Okay, Marion just got stabbed. Okay. So actually, no, she hadn't got stabbed yet. I don't think I got to that part. So while she was in the shower, the mother persona took control again, and mother walked into the room and stabbed Mary to death while she was still in the shower. Norman, quote unquote, then returned to the room and saw what happened. And it's like, damn it, mom killed somebody else. So he hid Marion's corpse in her own car and he sunk the car in that same swamp. This must
Yeah,
have been
I'm
a big
wondering
swamp.
the size. Yes, the size of the swamp. Just car after car after car, and like swamps already have a bad name. I mean, like the
Yes.
dredge the swamp type. It's like, why are we just gonna like throw a bunch of shit in this swamp and just give it the bad name? I mean, because I'm sure that in a perfect world, a swamp is a beautiful, harmonious habitat.
Have you ever seen a swamp? I
Not
don't
a
know that I would call it beautiful.
I've seen Swamp Thing, and that was cool.
Haven't seen that movie in a long time. Oh gosh. Yeah, well, I'm in my mind, I'm picturing this really dark, dank, nasty looking big mud puddle in the middle of nowhere
I mean, it's got
that
to be
these
huge,
cars
though,
are
for
sinking
his
in.
multiple cars in it now.
Well, yeah, it's, or maybe it has quicksand underneath it. I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. So she's gone bye-bye now, and mother has yet again killed another girl. A few days after this private investigator Milton Arbogast, he came to the motel to ask Norman if he had any knowledge of where Marion was. And, you know, in his nervous nature, because that's how Norman is, he lied and said that she hadn't been to the motel. Now, eventually, he did admit that she had been there, but stated that she had only been for one night and really hadn't spoken to him. And for some reason, I don't even know how it got brought up, but Arbogast wanted to meet Norman's mom, but Norman, of course, refused to let Arbogast do so and pretty much told him to get the hell out. So Arbogast secretly snuck up to the house, which is stupid, and attempted to meet Norman's mama. However, he, of course, was attacked on the stairs by Norma. Or excuse me, Norman, who was dressed as Norma. He slashed Arbogast, causing him to fall down the stairs, and he actually ran down the stairs after him and continued to stab him to death. So there's another person Mama killed. Now, Marion Crane's boyfriend, Sam Loomis, he actually later came to the motel searching for Arbogast because they're the ones who actually had hired him. Norman heard his calls from the swamp but didn't respond, and he then moved his mother's corpse to the home's fruit cellar, quote unquote, against her wishes, because apparently they had argued about that too, because Mama didn't
Yeah,
want to go down to the fruit
she likes
cellar.
windows and stuff. She's not trying to be down in the cellar.
Well,
Mama
sure,
likes the
yeah,
air.
I guess apparently.
And she likes the, you know what the main thing is? Mama
No.
likes to keep her eye on everything. You can't see from the cellar.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, because her bedroom window does sit right up to where she can see all the happenings going on. So yeah, she couldn't be nosy. Now, Lila Crane, which was Marion's sister, she actually came with Sam and they posed as a married couple. They suspected that Norman had probably killed Marion for the money that she'd stolen from her bank job, actually a few days prior. Well, the day she came up to the motel, actually. Now, Sam distracted Norman in the motel office while Lila snuck up to the Bates house. And the conversation between Sam and Norman pretty much turned into a heated argument. And when Norman realized where Lila was, he incapacitated Sam with a vase and fled, to stop her from busting in on Mama or anything. He quickly got dressed up as Mother and ran into the fruit cellar where he had placed his mom's corpse, which Lila had just discovered the corpse, and of course she was screaming. So, hi, that alerted Norma to exactly where she was, which is stupid. Now, Mother entered the room, knife in hand. Sam ran in behind him, or her, whatever you want to call that person, and grabbed Mother from behind, and they fell to the floor. Norman was eventually subdued, and the cops were called, and he was taken into custody on December 20th, 1959. Here's
I
my thing,
wonder
though. He
if Lenny, sorry.
Well, he snaps back and forth so quickly. Like, he realizes as Norman that Lila's going up to the hotel, to the house. And while he's going into the house, he just jumps back into the mother mode because he gets dressed up as her again. It's
Yeah.
just odd to me that he can go back and forth so quickly and not remember that one personality. Well, not
And it
remember it when he kills somebody.
Yeah, and it is odd. And it is something that I think has been said to happen, but there are a lot of people that don't believe that dissociative disorder is real, right? Like there was like the famous case of Billy Milligan, other really good Netflix special, and it's called The Faces of Billy Milligan or something. It was like Ohio State campus rapist.
Oh, I think I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like really interesting, very disturbing, but he gets out of it, right? Like by being a multiple, right? At that
Right.
point, before it was dissociative. And he gets put into a hospital instead and interviewed by tons of like famous psychologists. And he actually becomes kind of famous, which is like really not what you want to happen to somebody who's committed all these atrocious crimes. That's what happened to Billy Milligan. But my whole point of that is during that, there's so many people that were like, experts that don't necessarily believe dissociative personality disorder, or sorry, dissociative personalities actually exist. And there's still some people that hold that mindset, which would be kind of a possible reason as to why Norm's able to switch back and forth so quickly, is if he's faking it, right? But I tend to believe that it is a real thing. So,
I believe in it, and I think
yeah.
he had it. It's just interesting to me how quickly he can revert from one to the other.
Yeah.
And also, that he doesn't remember a lot. And because I know that some people are very aware of all of the personalities that they have and, remember the things that they've done when they're the ones who are in control. It's just,
Yeah. And
it's
other odd things
interesting.
happen where, like, you might be the main personality, meaning the one that you, the actual born person. And you know of like a little girl named Rosie, and you might be like, Rosie told me about a man named Craig. You don't know Craig, but Rosie does. And whenever you're Rosie, Rosie can tell you about Craig, and Craig can tell you about Rosie. But like, so there's actually like a third layer of separation of sometimes of the mentalities, because you might not know one, but one of the other ones knows the other one, right? So it gets very complicated.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I mean, I always wonder how their minds come up with these different personalities,
Yeah, there's a certain amount of immense creativity that has to be associated with it, right?
Well, yeah, because I mean, they even have different handwriting styles. Like a handwriting analyst would come back and say, these are two separate people who wrote this when it's actually that one person, just a different personality is coming out. It's amazing.
And in Norman's case, I think it's a little bit odd, but this would be my reasoning that I would think it. So as the mother, right? Like you would not only take over the mentality, you would take over all the attributes. So theoretically, his mother getting older would be frail, but Norman's clearly very powerful as the mother. But I'm thinking maybe that's because as a child, he was abused by her for so long that he sees her as this powerful force, even though in reality, she would have been a frail old woman had she been alive.
I mean, that's a very good point. It's his, maybe, like you were saying, just his persona of her is the abusive phase
Right.
stage of his
Because most
life.
people, if they were going to have a multiple that was an old lady, they would be a frail little old lady.
Yeah, it
You
would be a
would make a
typical old lady,
cracky
yeah.
voice and you'd be humped over, and right, you would be.
Using a cane.
Yes, I was very ageist right there. I apologize to everyone who is elderly, which, by the way, is anyone over 120. Anyone below that is
Yes.
still young and does not fall into that category. But that horrendous old person voice was someone 120 and plus, and it was clearly not reflective of you if you're 121. Forgive me, because you probably speak better than that.
Yeah, and not only that, but when Ben and I worked at the airlines, we worked with a guy named Dave Hintz.
Yes.
Older gentleman could run rings around both of us.
Rings around anybody there,
Yeah.
like literally ran the show for
He
no
even
extra pay.
had
Didn't even want a position, right?
like a he had heart surgery, and I think like 2 or 3 weeks later he was back, and we could not keep him out of the belly of our aircraft from stacking and everything, even though we tried. He
Yeah.
wasn't supposed to, and we he wouldn't.
Yeah,
He
amazing
would push you
human
off the
being.
belt loader to get you so he could get up there and do the work. Oh,
Yeah,
that man.
absolutely amazing human being.
Yeah, he really is. Really is. All right. So at this point, Norman is with the cops, and from the police interrogation notes, the mother persona took control of Norman completely. And as his mom, he thought about how to prove her innocence by refusing to swat a fly crawling on her hand. Mother stated in Norman's thoughts that Norman was always bad and deserved to be locked up like he had been. As complete control of his mind and actions fell away to Mother, Norman managed a sinister smile to show that he was no longer himself. So I can't imagine sitting in the interrogation room and the cops are looking at this guy dressed as his mother and just see this wicked grin coming across his face and all that fun stuff. But he stood trial for the murders and was found not guilty by reason of insanity. Of course, he was remanded back into the psychiatric hospital. November 10th, 2021, at the age of 82, he passed away. The sad thing is that Norman never resurfaced. He stayed as his mother persona until the day he died.
Yeah.
That's
And this is
sad.
one of those rare cases where it's very hard to get the reason of insanity verdict,
Defense,
right? To where
yeah.
the defense to actually work. This is one of the cases where it makes sense because when he's his mother, he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't have the capability of stopping it. And the whole point of like that defense isn't that you're totally a normal person. It's not like, oh, this person can't plead that because they're just like you and me. No, Jeffrey Dahmer was not like you and me, but he
No.
went to prison because he fully knew what he was doing
At the
and
time of the murders,
at the
that's the
time of the
key.
murders.
Yeah.
That's the key, yes. And Norman didn't have
Thank you,
that.
Martina, for letting us know that.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, and yeah, from what we've been told by our lawyer friend Martina, she in order to get that verdict, you have to be at the time of the murders completely unaware of what you're doing. So that
Yeah.
whether
And that's
you're
why it's not
completely
used all the
competent,
time.
yeah.
Because just if you just look at it logically, you could argue that every serial killer is mentally ill. But you can't argue that all of them aren't fully aware of what they're doing when they commit the crime.
Because they all are. They
Right.
just snap into that, the evil side of themselves, but they're still themselves. It's not like they come up with a
Right.
different personality,
Right. But they're all mentally ill because normal people wouldn't be a serial killer. I'm not
I
saying,
disagree with that.
well, explain, explain.
I don't think, I'm not sure that I really necessarily believe in insanity, really, because in my opinion, we all shape our own existence, right? Like, so what's normal for me may not be normal for you, but that doesn't mean I'm crazy, you know? So
Yeah, but
them
you're leaving.
killing is a part of I mean, they're not dissociative, you know, they're, yeah, antisocial or whatever, but that doesn't mean they're crazy. They're just definitely not like what society has deemed as normal. And that's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, if there was a society somewhere where everyone killed everyone, then you couldn't say that person was mentally ill. But part of a mental illness classification is that they vary from normal society. So, I mean, it's part of what we have in this culture, right? Is that that's not an acceptable thing, and that most people have been grown or been raised to realize it's not an acceptable thing. But if you want to look at like nature versus nurture, you can always say, yeah, but their particular environment didn't make them that way. But the nurture still doesn't mean that you're not mentally ill. Mentally ill is being able to knowingly, readily, and without any hesitation, and most of the time without any reservation or guilt, vary from society.
Well, that's just not, see, I don't like the term insane because I think it's very, very misleading. Like, I don't consider Ted Bundy insane at all. He knew exactly what he was doing. He had a problem with women, which, given his, you know, situation with his mother, he thought she was his sister for the longest time, and his grandfather was actually his father. You know, I can understand him hating women and just that rage. I mean, honestly, I don't think there's a single person that's alive today who doesn't have the capacity to kill another human being. It's
Yeah,
just a
and
matter
I'm with you
of.
on that, but that's why I said a serial killer, someone who mass murders, right? I think anyone could snap for sure. And anyone could be put in a position, obviously, where like it's survival of the fit, or a life and
Darwinism,
death
that's the, yeah.
situation, or you're protecting a family member, or you just get so mad that you snap like a crime of passion.
Right.
But to actually be a serial killer who like methodically is going out and seeking out people.
But you could also argue that it's an addiction for them
It
and they
is, right?
can't
Well, and
help
Dahmer's,
themselves.
yeah, and like I said, Dahmer said like he after the first time like realized it was wrong, and but by the second time he was so addicted to it he knew he couldn't stop.
But I think the problem with the serial killers is that, A, I think it is an addiction. It's something that a lot of them get off on, and some of them that they just have to have that kind of power and control. But there's also the fact that they are psychopaths and they don't have any empathy. And I'm not sure that Dahmer was necessarily felt bad for what he did, but I mean, I'm not him, so I
I mean,
can't say.
I'm going to take his word for it. I'm going to believe that he did, but I do agree with you that there are some people who don't. And in that case, I would actually argue that maybe they're not mentally ill because, well, I mean,
It's
DSM
hard
would
to
disagree because of narcissism and sociopaths, and but if you truly just believe that society's view of how we're supposed to treat each other, as far as not killing each other and having respect for human life, is wrong, is that a mental illness or do you just disagree?
I just think you're an asshole. You're a bad person. I mean, when I think
But
of
the world would
mental
say you're a
illness,
sociopath.
well, yeah. I mean, mental illness to me is somebody who's delusional and who doesn't live in our reality and whose mind is just somewhere else. Like
But isn't
somebody
part of our
with,
reality that you're not supposed to kill people?
well, that's society's rules, but that doesn't mean everybody is going to want to live by them. I mean, we have crooks all over the. I mean,
But
technically,
most
I'm
people
breaking
want
the
to
law
live
every
by
time
it.
I'm speaking.
Say that
But
again.
I said I'm breaking the law, breaking society's laws and all that shit when I speed in my car. Which, if there's any cops listening, I only go 5 miles over, so that's
I
okay.
don't speed, so I'm good.
I mean, does that make me mentally ill? Because I'm breaking the law, I'm breaking society's rules. I think you have to be completely out of your mind and not realize what the hell's going on to be mentally ill.
I don't know. I don't know.
I just I
Because
don't
the
think
thing is,
I
things
just don't
like
consider a
narcissism,
lot of serial killers mentally ill. I just don't, because
but
they
things
know
like
what they're doing and they enjoy
narcissism,
it.
and being a sociopath, even psychopathy, if you still want to use that term, right? Like those, they have such very specific criteria that fall into the categories of all these specific killers, right? So it's like
Yeah.
you can look at them and categorize them by the things that they're doing and say, okay, this makes sense. So it'd be hard to say, but it's not a mental illness, so knock it out of the book when it's you can list
Well,
exactly what each of these people does
and
and how they got that way.
I get that, but I'm saying that I don't think a psychopath, even though it's in the DSM, should be considered a mental illness, because it's just a different kind of person. I mean, like you're shy and introverted and all that stuff. That's a classification the same as a psychopath or a sociopath or antisocial, whatever. That's the classification for the kind of person that you are. But you're not insane. You know, I just, me, I don't like the term mental illness because it just applies that, it implies that their mind isn't there. When
Or that's
you
not
take somebody
healthy.
like Edmund Kemper, who's insanely intelligent, you know, chopped off his mom's head and had oral sex with it. You know, that's, I don't know.
So
It's just, it's
if
weird.
I went to the doctor today and I said, "Hey, Mandy, I had to go to the hospital because I was sick," would you judge me for that? Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's called mental illness because it's an illness. It's the same as if you had, for lack of a better thought, cancer, right? It's an illness, right? It's not something you can help. So I think it was actually, I don't think mental illness is supposed to be a hate term. I think that society's made it that way because we've treated the mentally ill so badly. But I think the reason it's called mental illness is because we're trying to treat these people with dignity and respect, right? Where otherwise, if you're just looking at it as someone who does all these things, like a narcissist or a sociopath, is not mentally ill. It's the same as being like introverted and shy, right? You're basically just saying that this is like a criminal mentality. And if you're looking at it as like a criminal mentality, it's like, well, they deserve to be treated with respect and dignity as well, right? So it's like,
Unless they hurt animals, then all bets are off. I don't know. I just don't
I
like
hear
the
you.
term mental illness because to me it implies that they don't know what they're doing when they do. They just live in a different world than we do. And with they come up with their own.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily that they don't know what they're doing, but they can't help it. So you think they can help it?
No, I
Like,
think it's an addiction.
yeah.
You know, like one of the best movies about this topic, I think, is it's a movie called Mr. Brooks. It's with Kevin Costner. If you haven't seen it, go watch it, because for him, he actually goes to like AA meetings for this problem because it's an addiction and it's something that he can't, he has to fight to keep from doing. And it's really interesting, the concept behind it. That's
What
kind
is his
of,
problem?
he's a serial killer.
Okay.
But he goes to like these Narcotics Anonymous meetings to help try to control that urge that he has to kill somebody. You
Yeah.
know, just same as it'd be like a heroin addict shooting up. That's kind of how I see it. Like they know what they're doing, they just can't help themselves.
Yeah, I want to give another shout out to The Patient with Steve Carell. I know I mentioned it before, but it's about a serial killer who kidnaps a therapist to keep him in his basement so he can seek treatment. And it's the same thing. It's a compulsion and he doesn't want to do it. That's why he brings in the person to
That's
help
also
him.
a very dense show. So
Have you
if
watched
you're,
some?
I'm in the process of watching it. So if you're in a low state of mind, don't watch it.
Yeah, it is very dark, but it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, it's Steve Carell is he
Normally a wonderful comedian, but does amazing,
not
right?
no he's He's so good in it, but it's not a typical Steve Carell
No. If you see
role
his
at
face
all.
and are like, yeah, I want to laugh, don't turn on that show.
Yeah. No, because there's not going to be one Secret Party that's going to laugh at this. You're going to be like,
No.
I want to go jump off a bridge now. No, it's very dark, but it's really good. I recommend watching it when you're maybe in a higher spirit.
When you got your ice cream ready.
Yes, or your popsicles. I'm kind of addicted to sugar-free popsicles now. So, yes.
Well, goodness gracious.
All right, kids. Well, that is going to do it for our Norman Bates episode. I hope you found it fun and exciting. And thank you again for tuning in to Through the Abyss podcast. I'm your co-host, Mandy.
I'm your co-host, Ben.
And as always, you can get in touch with us on our email at throughtheabysspodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram at abysspodcast1.
Spotify, Spotify.
Have a great day.
I guess.
Well, Ben, we got another episode under our belts. Thanks so much for tuning in to Through the Abyss podcast. And until next time, keep it weird.
Spookly stuff.